Market View on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Money FM 89.3, and market sentiment has found another boost once again from the prospect of more stimulus from the United States. However, this has now raised concerns about potential overheating or even stoking or encouraging risky speculative activity in the market, especially after that Reddit retail frenzy that spooked investors and Wall Street a couple of weeks ago. There's also the topic of the upcoming Singapore budget and what to expect and what markets might be watching out for moving forward. Today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined by Mr. Jacob Du, the CIO for Envision Wealth Management, to share with us his thoughts on all things that will matter for the markets moving forward. Jacob, thanks for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are in good health. And welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you very much for having me again.
It seems markets have calmed down from all that frenzied retail trading we saw a few weeks ago. And we're back to some of these old, good old-fashioned drivers and hopes that's been propping up sentiment and optimism. And of course, there are hopes that more extended stimulus from the U.S. to the tune of $1.9 trillion might actually be sooner rather than later. But there is now a debate that's brewing about whether there's such a thing as too much stimulus and if it could lead to potential overheating, potential market risks or risks in the financial markets, or even propping up certain zombie companies. We've talked about this in the past. How serious are these particular risks? And is this a debate that policymakers across the world should actually be having?
Well, the thing is that, it is a complex issue to tackle. It's never been easy to come up with the right policy to satisfy everyone, because what you're facing is that you want to make sure that the economy is going to be vibrant, and you want to make sure that the livelihoods of the people will not be affected badly as what we've seen last year. And that's why whatever stimulus that's been agreed upon or what intended to be, it will never be not right to everyone. It's going to be very subjective. So that's why, having said that, the only thing that one could envision is that what will happen, because you've got to weigh the pros and cons and even the risk of such a stimulus, and what will be the impact. Would this impact be something that they could tolerate and manage eventually over the next couple of years? Or is it going to be something that they completely overwhack? Say, for example, if you're going to propose a $1.9 trillion package itself, how are they going to finance that to begin with? And how is it going to cause U.S. assets to behave and interest rates are going to behave? Because then a lot of companies have taken a lot of leverage last year. And if the yield curve would start to steepen, which we've already witnessed since the start of the year, eventually the companies will be in heavy debt. And how are they going to finance those debt itself? And that would be a big political question for them. As we have seen in the past, when the U.S. has come up with a huge stimulus and they tried to withdraw those stimulus, the markets reacted negatively, and the U.S. Federal Reserve and the government itself actually pulled back, right, and all those actions. That leads then to the next question of how are they going to be able to ensure that the markets function nicely and ensure that the U.S. is in a position to manage its own twin deficits. So that would be the larger question for both of them. I mean, of course, due respect to both Lawrence Summers and even to Janet Yellen, but the fact is that they will need to understand the implication is far beyond the current term. It won't be just 4 years alone. It'll be more than that.
Of course, these impacts might reach way into the future, of course. But apart from the possibility of propping up zombie companies and raising possible inflation spikes, we've talked about these two particular drivers, Jacob. But we also saw signs of all of this, of all the stimulus potentially being a partial reason as to why we saw all of that speculative trading take place in out in Wall Street. Of course, the Wall Street Bets Group, that Reddit retail frenzy that drove the likes of GameStop and AMC higher. It's pointing at potential signs that market behavior might be distorted by these loose policies for the most part. How is Envision Wealth Management, or how did Envision Wealth Management take stock of all of these this exuberant, irrational exuberance, as some might call it, on the markets? And more importantly, did you have any clients who were perhaps calling you guys and saying, hey, did we get in on that GameStop trade at all? Share with us what the last 3 weeks was like for Envision while you were watching all of this unfold.
Well, the thing is that we feel that there could be regulations for the regulations to come to make sure that the market will function normally. The other thing is that since last year, not even recently, but even last year, we have started to see the market behavior, which is completely irrational, right? Imagine companies with strong fundamentals, and yet the share price is not going anywhere. Instead, you're looking at companies that's almost in default, and with a share price that's just shoot through the roof. It doesn't make sense at all, right? And the fact is that, you know, if the investors, especially those Robinhood investors and Reddit investors, if they were to get into their own forum and engage in sentimental discussions, it's certainly not the way to go ahead and to invest in anything at all, because it's not how investment should be done. So therefore, the flip side is that for the fund managers themselves, it's also increasingly being difficult for them, because why? They have got to be mindful that whenever they take a position, they have got to see whether they're going to be hit, especially when they're on a short side. So which means that, you know, investors on the retail side now is looking for all these hedge fund managers who have shorted any stock, and they will punish all the hedge fund managers. It makes, you know, the market itself a completely different ballgame altogether. What we propose to clients instead is that for companies with strong fundamentals, we prefer to long the stock on those companies. But for companies with weak fundamentals, like GameStop, like Hertz, right, the car rental company itself, we prefer to be long an option, especially the call option. This is to take advantage of increased volatility, because you never know, right, when the price is going to go up. All you need is just for retail investors to start moving up in this direction. So that would be the kind of short-term play that we suggest. Of course, you know, we have not seen the professional investors going to GameStop, but we definitely will propose, you know, to clients looking at some of these companies with weak fundamentals to rethink in terms of asset allocation.
And all the speculative trading, though, Jacob, do you think this might be the canary in the coal mine that's saying that markets might be preparing for something drastic in the future? What are your thoughts? Or you think this might be a little too dramatic on my part?
It's not too dramatic. At this point in time, I would say that the market is anticipating for the stimulus to go through. So there'll be certain upside. That's why you've noticed that the stock market has been going up over the last couple of days itself. But once that is done and dusted itself, then the people will come back to their senses and perhaps look at, well, okay, does it make sense? Does the price-earning multiples really make sense at this stage? Because you have seen the price has gone up, but the earnings has not followed through. So it becomes a question of whether are we seeing too much froth going forward. As it is right now, with every day the stock market going up like that, and if you look, it's across the world. If you look at US, across all indices, stocks has been going up. In Hong Kong, every IPO, on the first day of IPO, you see majority of the stock has gone up by at least 80% or even 100%, which is, again, you know, shows that there's a lot of exuberance in the market. So while things are still going strong at this point in time, it's going to be a very short-term punt. I wouldn't suggest to hold it for too long. And I would prefer to go on the basis that if you really look at the fundamentals and look at the P multiples, if earnings are not going to be there, do not hold the stock for, you know, longer than 6 months.
All right, so let's speak to Mr. Jacob Du, the CIO for Envision Wealth Management here on Money FM 89.3. And speaking about potential stimulus and fiscal support, next week we are expecting Singapore to unveil their latest budget. And what matters for markets, and I think is the big question here. For Envision, what do you think is going to matter for markets with regards to the upcoming Singapore budget, Jacob? And what are some of the questions Envision will be asking as we lead up to the release in terms of Singapore's economic and market outlook?
Well, I mean, having seen exactly the few responses that came to the market, into, you know, the press in the media itself, the fact is that every year they are bound to find someone always asking for more help and asking for more money, right, to support a specific company, specific sectors, and things like that. The issue is that how are we going to finance all this support to begin with? And, you know, The fact is that this year's budget is definitely going to be different from last year. It cannot be the same as last year, where you're providing support across the board. It has to be much more targeted than before. So, and I would say that providing support for families and companies, you know, is a necessity. It provides stability. But this is not exactly what the financial markets will be looking for, generally, because stock market do not trade, right? Investors do not trade on the basis that you provide support to the man on the street. What they will be looking for is what the government in this budget will help in the long-term planning of how to ensure that Singapore remains competitive and innovative. Right? So the budget has to be in such a way that it will not be a situation where you want to approach the foreign companies to relocate to Singapore. You try to create a support system to allow these foreign companies to thrive, because then that will be beholden to a lot of other issues that comes along with it. And at the end of the day, you will always be playing second fiddle to everything that's being done. What potentially the government should be looking at is a budget that is able to ensure that at least there will be a unicorn that will help to build into a global brand and eventually to attract companies to partner with us in this entire long-term process.
And speaking of keeping Singapore competitive, there has been one particular industry that seems to have been showing signs of steady growth despite the pandemic, and that involves your industry, actually, wealth management and family offices. A number of new family offices have begun setting up shop in Singapore. Recently, we heard about Sergey Brin, the co-founder of Google itself. I do want to get your thoughts as to why there's been such a strong interest in setting up family offices here in Singapore. What do you think is playing in Singapore's favor that's causing some of these folks to choose Singapore as a place to set up shop rather than other places?
Well, the narrative in the market is that, you know, Singapore is a very attractive place. It has got the talent, it has got, you know, the tax regime, it has got all the necessary ingredients. But I think that's probably one-sided argument for it. If you really look at the overall global situation, right, it's definitely reinforcing a rethinking for the ultra-rich. If you look at the U.S., the divisiveness, the huge twin deficits, the continuance of money printing to buy U.S. treasuries, the potential tax hike that will collectively undermine U.S. assets and the strength of the economy in the long term. In Europe, it has been like divided between the North and the South, where the South is increasingly, you know, incurring a lot more debt. The North is finding a lot of problems in trying to finance those debt. Negative yield is not the way to go forward, because it's definitely not going to help any of the economies there. The ever-increasing debt and inability of the South to repay those loans will further widen the divide. So even the pandemic itself also shows that the vast and the great inadequacies and of the medical infrastructure and facilities in Europe itself. So for a family office who wants to think about its own survival, right, it cannot be in a place where first the failure to plan and failure to be able to react properly. If you look at UK also, it's desperately looking for a solution to the inability to manage those with the pandemic and inadequacies in their own medical facilities as well. So coupled with its ever-increasing debt level, which the government will have to find some way to finance those debts. So which means the general sense is in Europe, the tax will gradually increase from its current level, which is already high to begin with. Over in Asia, the impact on Jack Ma has caused uneasiness among the ultra-rich, and the constant displeasure by the Hong Kongers towards Chinese merely served to discourage further investment in the territory. So all these factors that make Singapore a beacon of stability, right? Apart from, you know, the tax regime, the overall environment, the rule of law, the deep connection that he has will help the family office decide that, you know, setting up Singapore makes a perfect sense. And of course, in this regard, a family, you know, based in Singapore will have an added advantage because it's shielded from the political influences. Right, so you won't have these political problems that a family office in Hong Kong or a family office in China or a family office in America might face because of, you know, the tainted view of the other party. And the investment opportunities around this entire region is a lot, it's abundant. And investment deals, in fact, has been pretty strong. And it's not just regional, but global. And also because of the fact that you have technology that enables, you know, a person that's sitting in one country to be able to service someone else in a different location altogether. Therefore, it becomes like you do not necessarily need to be based in U.S. You're a U.S. family or you're a Chinese family, you're based in China. You can be based somewhere else, but and yet you still have access, right, across borders itself. And generally, the discussions are always very private. And the reception to family office business support will definitely help to clinch those deals generally.
And very quickly, Jacob, I have noticed that Envision Wealth Management has actually inked up a new tie-up and is expanding its presence out in Malaysia. Can you quickly tell us about this, our listeners, about this development and what it'll mean for Envision Wealth Management moving forward?
Well, we have set up as a multifamily office, not just to deal with high ultra network individuals. Our intention is to be able to partner with different family offices around the world, not only just located in Singapore. And that's why, you know, strategy-wise and platform-wise, we have now, over the last 12 months, developed to a stage where we are now in a position to offer not only just the access to some of the private discussion and deals that we have on hand, but also to, I would say, deep connections that we have. That's why partnering with Bill Morrison in Malaysia is just one step. We have also announced our partnership with Mercury Energy to involving in the project financing. And Mercury Energy is actually one of the largest energy trading company in the world. It has about $121 billion in revenue in 2019 alone. Soon, we'll be announcing another partnership with a pretty big name that's based in China, but although its parent company is based in Japan. And we'll be announcing a separate tie-up with a specific regulator, where essentially we'll be partnering with them in attracting family offices here. And that's why, in the sense that our strategy, it's not so much of just about creating an association, because we find that it doesn't really add value. We prefer to go on the basis of providing support, because having looked at the family office industry in general, that's still pretty scattered. It's still pretty, divided, in the sense that there has different types of family offices, and everyone has different level of capabilities, and we want to be there to help them and support them.
Mr. Jacob Du, the CIO for Envision Wealth Management, stopping by and joining us today on Money FM 89.3 to share their thoughts on where the markets might be heading with the potential advent of a high stimulus, and also with regards to their thoughts on the upcoming Singapore budget. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times, and we look forward to the next time you can join us on the show, sir. Meanwhile, have a great and restive Lunar New Year ahead.
Same to you. Take care, then.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.